Okay, shalom everybody. We are going into our share screen. And we've very interesting as always. Rav Kook always has something interesting to say. And especially tonight, he has an interesting take on Tzniut. And it starts out with a Gemara, who, those who remember the Gemara that we saw last time, about this guy who God did a miracle for him and he was able to nurse his baby son, because his wife died. And one opinion says, wow, how great is this person that God did this great miracle for him? And the other opinion says, no, how bad is this person that God had to change the laws of nature for him? And we spoke last time about how to look at nature, that nature is even better than miracles. But because of that style of story, the Gemara here tells a similar story. And also, there's one opinion that says something, and then another opinion that understands the story a little different. So the Gemara Masechet Shabbat, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Bet, Tanu Rabbanan, Ma'ase be'adam echad shenasa isha gidemet. There is a man who married a woman who didn't have a hand. Doesn't say if it was amputated or if she was born that way. V'lo hikir ba'ad yom mota. And this guy never noticed that his wife was missing a hand until the day that he died. Amar Rebbe, kama tsnua isha zu shelo hikir ba ba'ala. How modest is this woman that she covered up her that part of the body, and she was so modest that her husband never even noticed that she had this mum, that she had this embarrassing part. On the other hand, Amar le Rabbi Chiya, Zodar Kabakach. What are you praising this woman? That's natural. And Rashi brings two explanations. Number one, it's natural for women to be modest. And the second explanation is that it's natural for somebody who has such a mum, such a deformity, to want to hide it. So Rabbi Chiya, so the first opinion, Rabbi says, wow, how modest is this woman? Rabbi Chiya says, Zodar Kabakach, it's not such a big deal that women in general are modest, and number two, especially if she's deformed, so she wants to hide. But what does Rabbi Chiya do with the story? Ela kama tsanua adamze shelo hikir bi ishto. How modest is this man who didn't look at his wife enough to realize that she had this deformity? So Rav Kook is going to deal with both aspects, and it's a hizdamnut, an opportunity for Rav Kook to talk about tzniut. Hahod v'atiferet. I should say, just as much as it's about tzniut, it's also about deformities. Hahod v'atiferet. Beauty. And the concept of tiferet, we've spoken about it in the past, is especially a type of beauty which groups together a lot of individuals, like grass is called tiferet, where one blade of grass is not really special, but if you see a whole lawn of grass together, it's beautiful. Similarly, the hair. Notice I go to my beard and not to my head. And in Kabbalah, the hair is called tiferet. That's this part of the body. And our rabbis explain that one individual hair is not beautiful at all. But when you see a whole groomed hair, once you brush your hair, then all of it together, that is a type of inclusive beauty. So, ahod v'atiferet, kol mashu yoter malei, בציוריו של האדם הפנימיים, חן האדם מתעלה, וכוח דמיונו, שהוא הבסיס לכוח השכל, מתקדש ומתעדר, עד שהוא מוכן יותר לקבל בנפשו את ההוד השכלי והמוסרי. Rav Kook, as we've seen many times in the past, says we are not naive, and we enjoy beauty. And part of enjoying beauty is that beauty adds to a person's peace of mind. Right? Chazal say that Isha na'a, dira na'a, marchivin dato shel adam. That having a beautiful wife or a beautiful house, that widens, it broadens your mind to be able to think better, that peace of mind. So here too, Rav Kook is saying that when we talk about beauty, that enables us to imagine nice thoughts, siurim, that those pictures help us develop our imagination to think of original, out-of-the-box thoughts, and then that imagination helps us develop our seichel and musar, our morality, our intellect. In other words, it goes from the beauty that you see, and then it goes to the imagination, and that helps us develop our knowledge and our peace of mind also regarding morality. So Rav Kook, as we've seen in the past, if you remember Rav Kook, once we have a testimony, somebody in England, when Rav Kook was stuck there in World War I, took Rav Kook to an art museum, and Rav Kook was blown away by Rembrandt, and he said, so he's quoted by this guy in the newspaper, that Rembrandt must have had some kind of godly spirit, or Ruach HaKodesh. So Rav Kook enjoys, and here he is explaining why it's good for us to see physical beauty. V'lahefech, on the contrary, siurei hakiur, when we see things which are not physically beautiful, hamitzarim et atam hativi shel hanefesh hayafa, she'asah Elokim yeshara, God created us straight. He created us the way he wants us to be. So if people feel disgusted when they see a disgusting sight, an unpleasant sight, so apparently that is the way God created us. Hem machlishim et koach hamidameh umitashdashim et ha'akara musarit v'asichlit. So uncomfortable sights, unpleasant sights, they harm our imagination, and they harm our thinking and broad-mindedness and morality. And therefore, Rav Kook is saying, it's legitimate to want to cover up certain things that don't look nice. V'ine ma'aseh Hashem em kulam be'emet na'im v'yafim. But here's the question. Hare, the creations of God are all beautiful. God does not make mistakes. He's perfect. Ve'in b'mtziyut b'chlala shum dilam. God, the word dilam is, I think you'll only see this word in Rav Kook. It's based on a Gemara Masechet Pesachim. It means problem. God does not have problems. He doesn't create problems. V'chiyur, he doesn't make things ugly. Ki kulam alo mimakora tiferet ha-netzach ve'ahod yesodam. So if God creates everything beautifully, on the other hand, there are certain things that bother us when we see them. Deformities, something out of the ordinary. So how are we supposed to understand it? God, on the one hand, everything is perfect. On the other hand, there's certain things like this woman who has the deformed hand that she wants to cover up. And the Gemara is praising her for covering it up. And Rav Kook is saying that this is natural. Maybe I'll just foreshadow a drop that there are two problems that could be with a guitar. If a person has six strings and then one of the six guitar strings breaks, you can continue playing the other five strings because they're tuned up to each other. And almost anyone, except a real musician, most people won't even notice that something is missing. On the other hand, if you have all six strings, but they're not tuned into each other, that is havoc. That is anarchy. And anybody who's not deaf will say that that really bothers the ear. In other words, if something is absent, that's not as problematic as if there is dissonance, as if there is conflict. If something is absent, you might not even notice it. And that is the direction that Rav Kook is going to go. Paragraph bet, here he really develops the idea. Omnam. Excuse me. The idea of seeing beauty in everything that God does, that we just spoke about in the previous sentence, Omnam kol ze haya lu haya efshar la'adam lachnis betziurav et kol hamatsui. The only way that we could see beauty in all of God's creations, even those creations that seem deformed or absent, missing something, is only if we see the entire picture. If you just look locally and you see a person who is missing a hand, who is deformed, that bothers us. And as Rav Kook says, it's better to cover it up so that it doesn't bother people and they'll relate to you in a more normal or regular way. That's the way we are. So, et kol ma'aseh Elokim mirosh ve'ad sof. If you see the entire picture, and you see from the beginning to the end, and you see all of creation as one holistic being, a creation, az haya roeh kol davar bimkomo hara'uy vana'ot lo, vaya kulo omer kavod vachin. If a person is on that high level of holism, that that even if something is missing, it's not only batel b'shishim, it not only is outweighed by the good, but when you look at the whole picture, you'll see that even that absence or that deformity has its advantages. For example, I once saw an article on 10 advantages of being blind. Most people know that blind people hear better. Blind people accept people for their personality and for who they are and what they say rather than their physical looks. And it goes through a whole list of things, of advantages of Dafka that blind people have. Somebody once said that Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles, blind musicians, they even to a certain extent, their hearing is so developed. Any person, any pianist who's used to playing, he really doesn't have to look at the keys. But being that his hearing is so much more developed because he's lacking sight, so he davke has certain advantages that other people don't have. Maybe even a better example, and something that we've seen together in Rav Kook, is the food chain, where if you look local, short-sighted, and you see dogs chasing cats, and cats eating mice, and mice are eating cockroaches, and everyone is eating everything in God's world, so somebody like Schopenhauer, that pessimist German philosopher, he will say, well, the world is a bad place. And everything is bad, and everything is violent. Just look, everyone's eating everything. And so that's what Darwin said about mankind, that it's natural for man always to be fighting and eating each other as well. On the other hand, Rav Kook says, take a step back, and you look at the chain of ecology, and you'll see, Davka, that it's very orderly. Because if the cats, if dogs aren't eating the cats, that's going to cause an ecological problem. And if the cats aren't eating the mice, in other words, if you step back and look at the broad picture, you davka see unity in the world. You see holism in the world. And the problem is only when you look too close up. It's like today with a picture where you look too close up or you blow it up and all you see is pixels. And what you have to do is sometimes you have to take a step back, and that way you understand the holism of God's world. The same thing with a person, and I'm not going to get into reincarnation, but in Kabbalah they talk about when a person is born, say, without an arm, or that he doesn't hear, that it's a tikkun for something that happened in a previous life. Say a person spoke too much Lashon Hara, and he comes back again. And he still talks too much Lashon Hara. And he just keeps coming back, and he never gets it right. And according to the Zohar, it says people turn to God at some point and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you help me Speak less Lashon Hara in the next Gilgul, and that person may be born either deaf or he won't be able to speak or something like that. In other words, there are so many things that we don't realize in the whole picture. And that is when the world seems problematic, God's world. Yes, man has free will, and man can make problems, like the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim we once saw together, that most of the bad in the world is not things that God created essentially problematic. How often do volcanoes erupt? Or how often are there, hurricanes? You know, once a year or something like that. Most of the bad in the world is what we do to each other. Say Russia doing to the Ukraine, or the Palestinians doing to us. Or, continues the Rambam, it's bad that we do to ourselves by overeating, or not sleeping enough, or sleeping too much, etc., etc. And what Rav Kook is saying is if you look at the world in general, God's world is good. Maybe I'll add in another example, and this is something that is so clear after 35 years of education and having thousands of students. It is black and white that people who have physical deformities, again, it could be a limp, it could be they're missing a hand, it could be a brother who has special needs, those people almost always are nice people. They're nicer, their midot, their sensitivity, their kindness towards others is a lot more developed, and without a doubt, it's because of that apparent absence. There's something which apparently is bad, but if you step back and look at the whole picture, this person and even their family has gained from it, and those around them gain from it. And Bikitsur, what Rav Kook is saying is that when you see something which doesn't look nice, in God's world, that's a problem because it stifles us. And that's why he created the solution that you can cover it up. In other words, the way to get the best of both worlds is for a person to have a certain problem, but there are ways that you can cover it up so that others won't see it. And that way you get the best of both worlds. I, regarding everyone else who doesn't want to see this deformity. So again, you, the person with the deformity, can cover it up. But even more important, the person around him should take that step back and look at God's world as a whole and realize that the world is a beautiful place. Rav Kook says this very nicely. Maybe let's look for a second in source number 4, going back to the share screen. Source number 4. By the way, if anybody was ever in Yeshivat Kfar Harweh, the first Yeshivat Bnei Akiva, there is this big dome in the original yeshiva. Today they have a new building, but the old building is still there. You can go inside. And on the dome, inside the Beit Midrash, is this quote from Rav Kook. In other words, it's such a classic quote. Shelo yesh. In other words, that's a poetic way of saying ein. Shelo yesh neshama bodedet gargarit gidua bahavaya kula. This is from Orot HaKodesh Chelek Bet, page 339, that there is nothing in the world, not even a grain of sand, which is disconnected from all of the universe. Ela hakol mechubar mesurag ve'arug. Every event, every person, every grain of sand is interwoven with the rest of creation. This is a beautiful way to word Rav Kook's ideology of holism, of seeing the whole picture. And again, maybe even another example that we learned in 10th grade. You remember photosynthesis? where the it's so beautiful, the way the green plants, they take the oxygen and they put out, they take the carbon dioxide and they put out the oxygen. And we human beings, we need the oxygen and we put out carbon dioxide. And this partnership is just perfect. Now, how can anybody miss the holism that is involved here? So Rav Kook again is saying, if you look at the whole picture, even when something looks deformed, that it only upsets you because you're not looking at the whole picture. You don't know what happened in this person's previous life. You don't understand the benefits that he is gaining personally, personality-wise, morally, and those around him as a result of these problems. Paragraph Gimel. Alken, ha'adam shehu tzarich lichalkel et nafsho hamaskelet umargeshet mazon ne'otla. A person, again, let's not be naive, let's not pretend that something deformed or something doesn't look right, it doesn't bother us. By the way, Rav Kook, at the end of this paragraph, let's already jump, lefi yichuso elehem. Today's society, by the way, is a lot more open and tolerant towards people who look different and act different. The idea of political correctness is definitely part of the evolution and improvement that Rav Kook always talks about. And the fact, by the way, this also has interesting nafkaminot, practical ramifications, where it used to be, in the time of the Gemara, and it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, that if a person has a mum, has a deformity in his hands, a kohen cannot go up to Duchen, to say Birkat Kohanim, if he is deformed. Unless people in his city are used to him, so it doesn't bother them. And recent modern poskim say that it's the truth is today also, there we don't have time to go into halachic ramifications, but things that used to bother people and may have prevented them, for example, a kohen from doing service in the Beit HaMikdash or from doing Birkat Kohanim, today in the modern world, these things, many of them change because mankind is more tolerant. And these things don't bother us as much as they want, as they used to. Nevertheless, Rav Kook, again, is talking about in his time, and even today, there are certain people which are really bothered by deformed sights, which do bother us. So Rav Kook is saying a person should be careful. And if there's something, for example, in this guy's wife would bother him, she should cover it up. Or if there's something in the husband that bothers the wife, he should cover it up in order to keep a pleasant atmosphere. The same thing if a person has, I don't know, today it's very common, especially in older people, they have these bags or catheters or, so, you know, if it bothers people, and it will bother most people, why not cover it up? You know, certain people just say, well, that's who I am and accept me as I am. Rav Kook is saying, no, you should also be considerate of other people. They should also be considerate of you. But if it's something that bothers them, so there are certain things that we should cover up. And by the way, it goes without saying that Rav Kook here is relating all the time to tzniut in certain parts of the body that we are embarrassed to show to others, and they are embarrassed to see, and that's why we cover them up. And this idea, maybe again I'll just foreshadow it, Rabbi Rav Kook is saying that God works on many different levels. You know what? Let's jump to paragraph 4. Kishe'avat ahod ve'achen mitmalet yafeh benefesh ad shenaseh keteva kavua. When a person is used to seeing the world holistically, And he does not see the absences. He doesn't see the deformities. He sees the good in everything that God created. This person will stay positive. He has a ayin tova. If you remember, let's jump for a second, the famous Mishnah Pirkei Avot, Parakei, Mishnah 19, Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvarim alalu. Anybody who has these three things, mitalmidav shel Avram Avinu, he is following in the footsteps, he's a student of Avram Avinu. Ushosha dvarim acherim, if you have the opposite, you're following Bilam, the evil Bilam. The first midah of Avram Avinu is ayin tova. See things in a good way. Veruach nemucha, humility. Venefesh fela. Now, if you notice, these things go together, because ayin tova, if you see the good in other people, you realize that, hey, I'm not perfect either. They have shortcomings. I have shortcomings. I should use them to help me be humble, but I should look at the other person to see his strong points and not his shortcomings. Why does it say Avram Avinu? Well, that's this week's Parsha, where the people of Sodom and Amorah really are evil. But Avram Avinu, nevertheless, he argues with God. That takes a lot of te'uzah. It takes a lot of guts. And says, Hashem, but look, maybe there are 50 tzaddikim there. Maybe there are 40, 45, 40. And maybe you should look at the righteous people and don't look at the evil people. In other words, don't destroy the cities. So we see Avram Avinu looks at the good. Rav Kook is telling us, how does he look at the good? By looking at the whole picture. And so if a person is accustomed to seeing the good, I remember there's a guy in my community in Riverdale. If anybody knows Rebbetzin, Blue Greenberg, her father, Rabbi Sam Genauer, very big Talmid Chacham. And she said that when she was a teenager, somebody mentioned to her that her father limps. I think he had polio or something, he had a terrible limp. And she said, hey, I never noticed that he limps. And she comes home and she started noticing that he limps. Why? Because she loves her father, and there's so much good in her father, and she focuses on the good in her father. So who cares that he limps? It's not really a significant part of his personality. By the way, another good example of this, I think Donnie Fold once gave me this example. He said that anybody who wears glasses knows that if you have a spot on your glasses, then it really bothers you for about 10 seconds. And afterwards, the eye learns to look around the spot on your glasses. God created us in a way that we can compensate, and we don't even see that spot on our glasses, right? I'm sure many people here, if you have glasses, are familiar with that example. So that really is a great example of what Rav Kook is saying. Look at the whole picture, and that way you're much more positive. Again, paragraph bet. Jumping down to the bold letters, shebikulam en hakiur nimtza mitzad atzmo imaya efshar ladam lichlol etakol. If a person is able to look at the whole picture, he doesn't even notice the deformity. Who is Rav Kook referring to in the story of the Gemara? He's referring to the husband. The husband never even noticed that his wife is deformed, like Blue Greenberg regarding her father. Why? Because he looks at the whole person. He sees the beauty in his wife, and he doesn't even notice it, and it doesn't bother him in the least. A paragraph, hey. Ve'al zeh nitzeit midat hatzniut le'ezrato. Now, we all have a tendency, most people are not so righteous, and we look short-sighted, we don't look at the holistic picture. And therefore, we do see the other person's shortcomings. We do see the deformities. So Rav Kook says, here is where Tzniut, God created this level called modesty. Liot sofeg bidgalut raketa yafeva hanae. Cover up that which isn't pleasant. Show that which is pleasant to the eye. Umavir ayin minato vachiur. And that way, other people will not even notice the shortcomings. Omnam kevan shebe'emet in sham kiur umigual. And the truth is, in truth, it really is not disgusting. Ki imitzad kotzer ha-ru'ut umi'uta kafa. The whole problem, as we said before, is short-sightedness. Is if you're looking too close, just at the deformity, and you don't see the person as a whole, and you don't see the benefits that came out of their handicap. Al ken anachnu lemedim ki ma shemechuseh. Here's the punchline. Ra'ui shiyeh rak mechuseh v'lo ne'edar. Fantastic and beautiful explanation. What is Rav Kook saying? He's saying that the God works on many different levels. If you remember, we spoke about this once. Rav Kook speaks about this regarding dreams. That say God wants to send you a message. So he could send you a message in real life. Say it's a warning that a person, you know, needs to shape up or do tshuva or something like that. So if God sends you a real crisis, that's scary and it's traumatic. Sometimes God will work on a different level, say dreams, where he will send you that scary dream and you'll wake up and you'll say, oh, wow, that was scary. And you should get the message on a much lighter and easier level. The same thing here. Rav Kook is saying that there, most people think binary, right? There are two possibilities. Either you have something or you don't. Either you have a hand or you don't have a hand. Rav Kook is saying there's a third possibility in the middle. Somebody who may not have a hand, but he covers it up so that it doesn't bother other people. What is the beauty of this? Because the person who has the handicap, he or she gains the benefit of humility, of thoughtfulness, of all the advantages that I mentioned before that handicapped people or their family have. But by covering it up, it doesn't bother other people. And in fact, it limits the handicap. Now, Rav Kook goes on to say, again, we got to finish up. I think tonight we just have maximum 40 minutes. So the share screen. Here we go. Again, to finish up. In paragraph Vav. Omnam. Hanetia shelo liten makom lemashu ka'ur. ומעיק על היופי הציורי שיגלה לעין מה שחוץ לו, זאת הצניותה של האישה. Rav Kook here is saying, not just this particular woman, but women in general are a lot more sensitive to aesthetics. So the woman here in the story, and women in general, if something is not aesthetic, it will bother them, or they know it will bother other people. And that's why this woman covers it up. And that's why the Gemara says at the beginning, you know, how beautiful is this woman, how tsnua is that she covered up her handicap. But then the second opinion says, what do you mean? It's natural for a woman to cover something which doesn't look nice. And Rashi says, for women in general, Rav Kook is explaining, women in general like aesthetics and are more sensitive. And number two, it's natural for a person with a handicap to want to cover it up. But on the other hand, continues Rav Kook, "Vanetia shelo larchiv et ha'ayin ki im lefi midat ha'tiferet." The tendency that people don't look at the holistic point, zoti midat ha'tzniut shel ha'ish. The man in this story is controlling his eyes. And this is something that the Shulchan Aruch and all the Sifrei Musar all talk to men about the need to control their eyes. Don't look at pornography, don't look at other women except for your wife, etc., etc. So Rav Kook is saying that the man, Davke he, is commended here because he is looking holistically. He is looking so holistically that he doesn't even have to look away. So Rav Kook is saying there is that advantage of self-control, of controlling what you look at, or to cover it up, or to look away. But a higher level, and that's what he writes about in paragraph Chet, there is omeka tzniut, what is the depth of tzniut? Real tzniut is that you don't even have to need to cover it up. That a person has such a holistic look that he sees everything is good. This person is a good person, and he looks at the good, that ayin tova that we have been talking about. And that is the idea of tiferet, and that is how Rav Kook explains the beauty of, on the one hand, there is room here to compliment the woman and her approach, and to take into account that aesthetics are important, and if something doesn't look nice, to cover it up, and to make use of this third category, that the world is not just either you have it or you don't, but also there's this middle category that maybe you don't have it, but you can cover that up. And again, if it's covered up, like a guitar, which is missing that sixth string, most people will not even notice it. On the other hand, if it's a guitar which is not, that has six strings, but they're not in tune with each other, that dissonance is something that really will bother people. And Rav Kook is saying that's the way God created us. And yes, we are sensitive to these type of things.